Hello and welcome back to the Go Home Show podcast brought to you by Sporth. I am Chris Anderson and joining me as ever is Michael the Crusher Henson, and we are here to review NXT UK from the 8th of October. Crush, let's dive straight into it. We bring ourselves into the action with a women's tag team match. Take it away.
Yeah, so we start with Xia Brookside and Dani Luna against Amal and Nina Samuels, and then this didn't have the best of starts for one of the tag teams, as Amal's entrance, the French Amal, on commentary, I believe she's the first French woman to be ever signed with WWE, so a bit of history there. Her entrance was interrupted by Nina Samuels, her tag team partner, in inverted commas. To start, we get Dani Luna, who has been in Fight Club Pro. I think I've seen her in Progress and a few other promotions. She's in, and she's showing her strength early on before tagging in Xia Brookside, who's obviously the daughter of Robbie Brookside, the legendary British wrestler. There's a lot of back and forth, there's multiple tags. Now, this is when it starts to break down. Nina's got Xia in a headlock, and she backs into the ropes, and as she backs in, Amal gets the tag. So Nina goes for the pin and then is not happy whatsoever when she's told she's not the legal woman. Then we get a hot tag to Dani Luna. There's lots of power moves showing her strength. And then you see there's this great camera angle where Amal's sort of struggling to get over to the corner. So Nina just like slowly offers a hand out. Very royal. But then as she's about to tag, she drops off the apron and walks off. So ultimate heel Nina. We've seen it many times before. Very good for the storyline. And the finish then is a Brooksy Bomb, I believe it's called, which was Amal getting put to the top by Xia Brookside. She sort of ties her arms up, then flips her into a powerbomb from Dani Luna before a very inventive pin where she sort of, I don't know, Chris, can you describe that pin?
Because I've struggled with the word. Bridging, it's essentially a bridging pin. So she flips her over into a powerbomb. Dani Luna then rolls her back towards Xia Brookside, who bridges up, traps the leg, and it's just a good deep bridge to pin.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. And good teamwork from Xia and Dani throughout. We then get a promo for WWE 24 with Drew McIntyre, which you can listen to our review on this week's podcast in the Network and Chill section, which will also be on our YouTube, Sporth Wrestling, in the next couple of days. But if you want to check it out in the meantime, check it out on all good podcasting apps. We then get Jack Stars against Saxon Huxley, which is a throwback to 2 weeks ago when Saxon sees Jack backstage and he said something like better luck next time, which obviously enraged him. So Chris, over to you.
Yeah, this match was essentially a competitive squash. Saxon Huxley obviously has this kind of new gimmick. He's kind of like a caveman in the ring, I think is the best way of describing it. There's lots of grunting and groaning as he's going around. Obviously a very big guy, very strong guy. Early on, the story they're telling is Jack Starr's being quicker than Huxley, without really getting much in the way of offense in. Huxley gets a couple of very impressive kind of elevated wrist locks in where he holds Jack Starrs above his head in a wrist lock. Starrs got a couple of drop kicks in, but very quickly Huxley takes control. Beats him down for a couple of minutes. Starrs got a mini comeback in with a low drop kick into a low cross body, but Huxley kicked out a one. So it wasn't, like we said, this was very, very much a competitive squash match. In the end, Huxley wins with what is essentially, I guess, the big ending, or his version of the big ending. It's from like the dominator position into a front bump. The match was fine. It did the job for what it was meant to do, which is building up Saxon Huxley. In a perfect world where we weren't in a coronavirus world, I think they would have got in enhancement talent for this match to build up Huxley and show how good he was. Obviously, with them trying to bubble up as much as possible, and they were recorded all these shows, I think, in a day, 2 days or something like that. It was really crammed in to obviously limit the risk as much as possible. You can understand why that wasn't a possibility. It did the job. It got Huxley over as a very dominant wrestler. Interested to see where they go with Huxley from here. Don't think, obviously, with his loss to Volta, it was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? Yeah. It was probably a bit of a breakout showing for him. I don't think they'll put him into the title picture too quickly, but I can see him kind of being in that mid to upper card level for a while. They'll keep building him up, probably give him a big feud. I can imagine with someone like, who would they go for? Who's a good established face? Maybe Dave Mastiff, I think, is a good shout. I can see him going with Dave Mastiff and use that to build him up in the same way they did with Eddie Dennis when NXT UK first started. Like I said, it did the job. It got Huxley over. Move on to there for a video package for Gallus. I really enjoyed this. I forget how good Gallus look in slow motion. I'm not always the biggest fan of their matches. I think they have a style that's quite hard to mesh with other styles sometimes. because they are a bit slow. They're very powerful, very talented. They can be a bit slow. So when you have the faster pairings against them, it sometimes doesn't mesh too well. But just as a visual, to see these big Scottish mountains in slow motion with thick accents and hair and sweat going everywhere, it looks mint. I love it a lot. After that, Pretty Deadly backstage. The main thing they asked about was, they were asking about Eddie Dennis last week, and the response was, it's Nunya, i.e. Nunya business. It was the most corny,
it was good,
predictable setup line I've ever seen, and I bloody love it. I've got a lot of time for Pretty Deadly. I think it's a cool little gimmick. It's something you don't see very often in what is essentially a very machismo setting in professional wrestling, to see legitimate heels that have that kind of, you know, that pretty, like that prettiness about them. I think it works. I think it works quite nicely. This then led into what I was most excited for going into the show, which was the Heritage Cup. I'll hand over to you, Crush. What did we have? What did you think?
So yeah, we have the quarterfinal match between A-Kid and Flash Morgan Webster, of course, is a former podcast guest. So you can check him out, the interview on Sports Wrestling or on all good podcasting apps. Round one, there's a lot of mat wrestling and A-Kid is in control for the majority of it. Towards the end of the round, Flash starts building up momentum. He sends him to the outside, and as he's about to go for a dive, the ref stops him, end of round, so it's 0-0 after that first round. The second round starts with A-Kid taking Flash down to the mat with a headlock. There's a lot of great back and forth sequences, chain wrestling. I think one of them was like head scissors from Flash into a bow and tie from A-Kid, and then Flash gets the first pinfall after rolling through. I think they rolled through about three or four times and holding legs down to get the pin and a 1-0 win. And I love a bit of banter. Unlike Wales, he got the 1-0 lead early on, which is a throwback to last night's England versus Wales match, which, of course, England won 3-0.
Very good, Crush.
Thank you very
much.
You're
a capital J wrestling journalist.
Thank you.
The comedic side, and I love it.
Thank you. Round three, A-Kid grabbed Webster again to slow down the pace. It's obviously we've seen from round one where he was in the control for the majority of it. And he finds a way to get out of every single hold that Webster's got. Then we have a very perfect fisherman's suplex, almost a Mr. Perfect fisherman's suplex into a two count. Then we get a moonsault. A-Kid goes for a pin after Flash's moonsault. But then Flash hits reverse Rana. A-Kid is done for. I mean, done for. But the time's up, so he can't get the pin. And it's still 1-0 after three rounds. And you're thinking, surely Flash on top here, and he was from round four. Once again, he's literally a Flash out the gates with a devastating running knee. It's similar to Mandy Rose's on Lana on Monday Night Raw this week, where it's legit like, you think, wow, they are sparked out. But A-Kid kicks out at two. Flash goes to the top rope. A-Kid sees a bit of an opportunity. He knocks him off balance with a kick before one of my favourite moves in professional wrestling. And I hope to one day see Chris or Ryan hit this when I watch Synergy, a Spanish fly from the top rope. And then we see a devastating super kick that Shawn Michaels would have been proud of to get the free count and make it 1-1 after round four. Chris, you ever got to do a Spanish fly from the top rope?
I think me and Ryan will save it for our big feud payoff when one of us, and I mean one of us, I say mainly me, is probably set to retire from injuries and we need to like blow all this off and it will be Spanish fly, no sell, into poison Rana's, into the V-triggers, and the finish will be a, I don't know, superplex to the outside with the ring breaking still somehow. That's our big payoff. I have to say, this super kick you were talking about from A-Kid, I legit think it might be the best super kick I've ever seen because it's almost like a running, diving feet first. It was like a Cantona super kick to the crowd without using the railings. It was sold so well. I'll be dead honest. I was going to say this afterwards, but I'll say it now. After the first two rounds, I was like, this is very similar to last week's match. And like, have we already fallen into this is the structure that we use for these matches? Round one is mat wrestling. Round two is shine and we get a pin. Round three is desperate comeback. This round four with this massive nonsense super kick, I was there like, oh, okay, this is different, because we see essentially a lot of near falls early on, and it's not the wrestler kicking out, it's the rounds stopping stopping the win. I really enjoyed this. Was a very, very well done story. But sorry, Crush, I've completely ruined your segment. You carry on.
It's all right. So yeah, we get into round five, the final round. Obviously, it didn't go six rounds last week, it didn't go six rounds this week, and both men are trading sickening slaps and chops. They are Walter-esque. That's how hard they're hitting. Webster then hits a Falcon Arrow out of nowhere, gets a two count, and both men are still trading strikes. The you can tell they're running empty. You can tell they're putting everything into this last round because one pinfall from either of them or submission and they're into that semi-final. Aker goes for an attempted sleeper, but Webster breaks it up with a headbutt. That man is made of steel. Webster goes up to the top again. He misses a moonsault and that allows Aker the opportunity to tie him up and force an armbar submission with seconds. And I mean seconds to spare. I think it was like 3 seconds he got the victory in. Well, got the victory to spare, should I say. And yeah, Aker is into the semi-final where he'll face Noam Dar, who obviously beat Alexander Wolf. Chris, I don't need you to sum up the match because you've already done it. You thought it was very good. We then get a backstage segment where Flash has been attacked and we see Eddie Dennis in the background. So obviously that's playing into the storyline for the past few weeks and how that's going to end. And then we go on to the main event of the night, which wasn't a match, and it was the State of Union Address. So Christopher, back to you.
Yeah. This, for me, was the first misstep from NXT UK since its comeback, which, seeing as we're, what, 3 or 4 weeks deep now, is a bloody good effort. The only reason I say that, and I think actually the segment itself was fine, I think it just needed, I think the end of the Heritage Cup match was a bigger finish than the end of this. But by the by, Kaylee Ray comes out and she starts to cut a promo about how she's defied the odds, her record-breaking title reign, all this kind of stuff. Out marches probably about half the women's roster at this point. We get Nina Samuels, Isla Dawn, Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, and Dani Luna all come out first. They surround the ring. Then we get Amal come out, but she's not there for Kaylee Ray. She's there to pick up where she left off with Nina Samuels, who obviously left her and betrayed her early in the tag match at the start. They have a bit of a scrap. As they're scrapping, Kaylee Ray's still doing her promo. So that was a bit weird because you didn't quite know where to focus. Kaylee Ray's still talking into Mike, but you can hear like the grunts and slaps and noises from the scrap going on in the back of the ring. Then out comes Piper Niven. She shoves Nina Samuels and Amal to the side, carries on into the ring. More of a scrap kicks off. Everyone starts scrapping. I saw a head scissors to the outside from Zaya Brookside, which was great because everyone else is throwing punches. And Zaya Brookside was like, yeah, but watch me yeet myself up here. That was great. Love that. The only person missing at this point, if I'm right, is Ginny. Ginny then comes out as Kaylee Ray's trying to walk off. They get into a scrap. There's fighting everywhere. A laptop gets broken, I think, across Ginny's back, if I remember rightly. Eventually, they're all in a big group at the edge of the ring. Valkyrie comes flying off the top with a big crossbody. Everyone's down. And the last picture we see is Kaylee Ray essentially sneaking off, belt over shoulder, big shit-eating grin on her face as she sneaks off to the back. And we get the trademark picture come up in the bottom right-hand corner. I think my issue with this, more than anything, was that State of the Union addresses are often, in fact, any in-ring promo with the champion, are usually set to determine who's going to be the next contender. Either they get interrupted by the next number one contender, or when you get these kind of multi-person brawls, out will come a GM or a voice of God and will say, right, you all want to get your hands on each other to define who's going to be the number one contender. Next week, we're going to have a battle royale. We're going to have a ladder match for the briefcase or something like that. This just ended with a lot of bodies on the floor and Kaylee Ray sneaking off. So it was a bit of a cold ending to it. Whereas the finish to the Heritage match was so good that I think that would have been a better way to end the show and I'd have moved this segment before it. I can understand why they didn't, because obviously they wanted to have the Flash Morgan Webster attack kind of come in between the two. But I think they could have just done, they could have gone to it next week and said, after his amazing match at the end of last week's show, Flash Morgan Webster was attacked. Here's the footage of it, that kind of thing. I don't think it needed to have a promo essentially to end the show. However, all in all, very, very good show. Once again, the Heritage Cup match is my standout match. It's the one I'd say to watch. However, it is a very, very good show. Next week, though, next week is stacked. We've got Dave Mastiff versus Joseph Connors in the Heritage Cup quarterfinal. And we have Volta and Alexander Wolf taking on Pete Dunne and Ilya Dragunov in the tag team match. That is going to be fireworks. I'm very, very excited for that. We also had an announcement for Volta versus Ilya Dragunov for the NXT UK Championship in 3 weeks. I'm right in saying, aren't I?
So yeah, 3 weeks. That'll be awesome. So it'll be the 29th of October.
Love that. All in on that. That'll be a great match. That's all I've got. Crush, anything else from yourself?
No, all good. My one match, as Chris said, Heritage Cup, a barnstormer 15 minutes.
Good, yeah. Just good. And it's when we talk about the strikes in round five, they are tarring each other. It is good stuff. Thank you very much for tuning in. Make sure you leave us a review on the podcast if you've enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod and check us out on YouTube, Sporf Wrestling, for all our interviews. Make sure to check out our reviews from this week as well as the main podcast, which came out yesterday with not one, not two, but three very special guests, the NXT Tag Team Champions, Breezango, and TalkSport's very own Alex McCarthy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now let's go home.